Well, hello again, everyone. This is Stephanie Hoover with Loss Prevention Magazine, and welcome to another episode of Inside Scoop, our podcast that we've been doing for a little while now. And the object of these podcasts is to talk to some interesting people that are out here affecting the industry and LP. And I think we have two folks today that are definitely affecting the industry, and that's David Johnston and Christian Beckner from the NRF. And so before we get into our topic for today, I would love for David and Christian just to talk a little bit about who they are and what they're doing at the NRF.
Yeah, well, thanks, Stephanie. David Johnson, Vice President of Asset Protection and Retail Operations, and I lead our advocacy and membership engagement and education in the areas of asset protection, loss prevention, so crime, violence, organized retail crime, digital fraud with Christian and others.
I'm Christian Beckner, Vice President for Retail Technology and Cybersecurity at NRF. I lead our member engagement around cybersecurity and other technology issues, including AI, and also working on policy issues on those areas as well. And I'm leading our new Center for Digital Risk and Innovation. This is NRF's new one of our new sort of internal centers for, to facilitate deeper engagement around technology and cybersecurity issues.
Great. Well, two super smart guys on the call here today or on the podcast today. So I have to step up my game a little bit, I think. The good news is I have some questions. So what I would love to talk about, first of all, it's awesome that we have both of you together. And I think that says a lot about where we're going as an industry, right? And it's that these things are all beginning to overlap. We talk about ORC and crime and cyber. Like there's a lot of overlap and a lot of vectors hitting each other. Can we talk a little bit about what the stance is from NRS perspective on that?
Yeah, well, I'll start with, retail is an evolving industry. And, even the profession of asset protection and any aspect of protecting, the brand, the organization, the people, the profitability, continues to evolve as we've become more of an omni-channel environment in the retail with the convergence of digital and physical retail spaces, retail channels, so too have the bad actors. And it's become important for us to work collaboratively and cooperatively as a full enterprise. And that's what brings a lot of the physical security and the cybersecurity together. So I'll let Christian add his point of view.
Yeah, so if you think about cybersecurity in the retail sector, it's been about 10 years since NRF started up our IT Security Council, which is our main group for engaging around cybersecurity issues. Also 10 years since the Retail ISAC was established. So you've seen a lot of good collective effort around building capacity around preventing cyber attacks and cyber threats that affect retail companies and customers. So a lot of good progress made, but the attacks that we're seeing are more sophisticated every day. And then we're also seeing sort of between retail crime and cybersecurity, a real sort of advancement in different types of fraud schemes, scams that are going after retailers, going after customers and consumers, and a lot on the plate right now that the companies are having to defend against.
Absolutely. There's, I think, a real overlap between what happens in brick and mortar and what's going on online now, for sure, more than ever. So, David, I think about the current state of ORC, and I know there's a lot of talk in the news about this, and there's a lot of attention from retailers being focused on it. I sort of almost think of it as like this dystopian future that we're up against. What do you think in your mind? What are we headed for if we don't stop this ORC sort of wave coming at us? What are we in store for if no
Yeah,
action is taken?
you're right. It's, if we look at it from a dystopian environment and what's going to happen, if we don't continue to progress, in really what I'm going to say, there's a lot of lawlessness out there. And we're not just talking about, again, the audience knows this. I'm preaching to the choir, but we're not talking about the opportunistic or the amateur, shoplifting that's taken place. We're really starting to see, this new breed of shoplifters. We've been at this for over 3 decades, right? You and, or at least I have. I don't know.
I have to.
Yeah. So, and when we began our careers catching shoplifters, it existed, right? We even had professional shoplifters. We had groups that would come and steal high priced and high fashion, goods, but today we're just seeing a number of factors that have, progressed over the years that this new group, this almost independent business of shoplifting, is occurring, where we're seeing the open and the brazen acts of shoplifting, the frequent offenders who are coming in, the merchandise being stolen has changed. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not just the unhoused, it's not just the addicted, it's folks who know that they can go and you know, sell the goods. And we've seen this proliferation of organized groups, whether we want to call them coordinated, organized, or even at larger transnational groups. There's a wide scope and scale of organized networks out there who are going and reselling these stolen goods. How did we get here? Well, a lot of things: economic, financial issues, unhoused, drug abuse, decriminalization of certain laws. You know, we could talk border issues. It's a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. If we don't fix it, and it is going to take a full community effort from the local to the federal government and even the consumers to understand they have a role here. If we don't fix it, we're just going to continue down that path of lawlessness. And we're seeing it now because it's not just the four walls of the retail store. Cargo theft is increasing. You know, Christian and I talked about the convergence of cyber crimes involved in these organized crime networks, gift card tampering. You know, there's some major cases happening out there. So we're starting to see this convergence of all criminal activity, mm-hmm, starting to have a play and a focus and engagement in organized retail crime. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But if we don't move to correcting it as a full community, you know, I'm concerned about where we're going to go as a society. Right. I know Christian could talk about the cyber side and how that comes into play with what we're seeing with ORC.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, what, you know, organized retail criminal groups are doing, you know, there is, you know, I think a few years ago, we would have thought that, you know, cyber criminal organizations are a separate group from ORC groups. I think you are seeing a convergence, you know, given the fact that you can do ransomware as a service, cybercrime as a service. All of these capabilities are tied into each other. And some of the international organized criminal groups have those capabilities and are using them opportunistically, you know, wherever they can. This really comes down to, you know, where, you know, where there's opportunity, where there's a perception of sort of lower risk than certain other types of opportunities, organized criminal groups are going to take advantage of that. And that's what I think we've seen over the past few years. I am optimistic about the way federal, state, and local law enforcement has responded and stepped up their games, Homeland Security investigations, many, you know, state and local law enforcement organizations, but we're still sort of early in that journey to sort of build up that capacity.
Right. You know, Steph, one of the images I always look at when I think about organized retail crime is the cover of LP Magazine special edition. I think it was almost a year back, is the iceberg. Mm-hmm. I think that we are just now starting to get at or just below that water level. As Christian had mentioned, you know, we've got great efforts by state and local communities and federal agencies. We've seen fantastic partnerships with the retail industry in some of these investigations. And we're starting to hear more and more about these larger scale apprehensions that, again, aren't going after just the boosters and the shoplifters. We're starting to apprehend the people involved in the network. We're not there yet. You know, we're not at the point where we're totally dismantling and disrupting these larger groups, but slowly we're starting to see that the relationships, the partnerships, and the efforts of, you know, particularly the retail industry is starting to show.
Right. I think when I worry about things like, you know, nation states funding organized retail crime. I mean, those are the big, big rocks. Is there anything that the NRF is doing to help with those types of things? And maybe that's beyond your scope. I don't know. But that's a sort of what keeps me up at night is, man, how do we address something like that? Like a nation that's funding this sort of activity.
I mean, I think that's where the Combating Organized Retail Crime Act comes into play. So if you look at, you know, which has been a major focus for NRF's legislative activity over the past couple of years, the goal there is to bring various federal law enforcement agencies together in a coordination center to support state and local investigations, but to sort of build that richer picture of what we're seeing in terms of coordinated transnational organized criminal activity. Some of it may be not necessarily nation state supported, but certainly nation state sort of, you know, looking the other way and not, you know, not sort of active efforts in some countries to sort of tackle that in terms of their own internal law enforcement activity. So I think, you know, from those efforts and, you know, even, you know, with, if we can get CORCA passed this year and sort of move forward on that, I think that will provide sort of more awareness into, you know, what your, you know, that sort of picture. David, I know you'd surprise something you wanted to add to.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, and you mentioned, you know, CORCA, it, you know, we are tied in with the key federal agencies that are supporting, you know, the federal efforts of organized retail crime. Our members are, you know, we make sure that our members get time with them, whether it be at Protect or through our LP Council and some of our other committees. You know, and the one thing that we're definitely assured of is, you know, ORC is going to impact our national economy. It is impacting the national economy. You know, retail is the largest private employer. You know, one in four, you know, either work in or support retail. It is a major, you know, driver of our gross domestic product. Right. So, you know, national economy is impacted by the retail industry. And we also have to look at it and say our national security can be impacted by organized retail crime, you know, with some of these transnational groups and the product and the proceeds being offshored for, you know, either nation state, nation sponsored, or, you know, as Christian said, those nations that are turning the other way. So it's very important for us to stay tied into the federal work and efforts of not only just ORC, but all the collateral crimes attached to it.
Right. You know, you mentioned some of the work that you're doing on the Hill. I would love to hear a little bit more about Fight Retail Crime Day. I know we featured an article about it in our last issue. But from your perspective, what was that like? Was there a lot of camaraderie? Were people sort of like linking arms and singing Kumbaya a little bit? Like, what was that all about?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks to Millie from Luxottica for the article.
She did a great job. Yeah.
And most importantly, you know, to the retail members and key industry partners who took part in Fight Retail Crime Day. You know, for those unfamiliar with it, Fight Retail Crime Day was held last October in Washington, D.C. We had about 70 retailers, mostly loss prevention leaders and professionals, along with their government relations folks and some key industry partners, you know, go to Congress and sit down and have over 60 meetings with congressional offices in both the House and the Senate. You know, what this really brought were a couple of things. Number one is it, you know, to the congressional leadership or just Congress in general, it brought personal stories. Instead of us talking on behalf of the retailers were sitting next to these congressional offices and leaders and talking about what they see every day, what the impact was or is to their employees with the violence, the theft, and the crime. So for Congress to hear those stories, it puts a lot more of a personal touch on what we're really trying to accomplish. From the LP point of view, you know, many of them, including myself, never really understood what happens when our GR folks go to the Hill or, it's a mystery or what it takes to sit down and have a conversation with a senator or a representative or their offices. So it was a great learning experience. I don't think it was a kumbaya moment. I will tell you that there were a lot of conversations that at lunchtime in the cafeteria, many of us got together and it was, what did you say? What did you talk about? Who did you meet? You know, what were their thoughts on it? And then afterwards, you know, from that period of time, we've seen over 35 additional co-sponsors to the bill. You know, we're now up to over 130. The push now is to try to get the bill to the floor. You know, if we can do it in committee, that's great, because right now both bills are in the committees of their respective committees in the House and the Senate. If we have to go through committee, fine. But our GR team is also working on trying to get it to the floor for a vote. Might be a challenging year because it's an election year. We know what Congress and others may do during the time period they have remaining, but we're positive that we have the opportunity. We've got a lot of support and we're just going to keep driving it home. You know, it, this reminds me of the Kevin Costner, Elliot Ness in The Untouchables, right? Never stop fighting till the fighting's done.
Right. Great movie, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it, and this is it. And it's a fight that many of our predecessors have been taking on. This is not something that's just popped up, you know, 3-4 years ago. This is, we're almost in a 20-year fight. You know, and that's how long, but the evolution of it, the scale of it, the impact of it, you know, now the time is right.
One other observation on Fight Retail Crime Day. Again, I took one of the groups around during the course of the day, and we went into Republican offices, we went into Democratic offices, and you would hear slightly different things, but for the most part, the understanding of this issue at the local level, wherever you are in the country, this is an issue. And I think that's reflecting the fact that if you look at the sponsorship of CORCA, it's almost 50-50 Democratic and Republican members, and you know, sort of strong bipartisan support for the bill. So I think that gives us some, you know, positive sort of hope that we can get this across the finish line this year.
Right. That's great news. So, you know, Christian, while we have you talking about that, is there anything else happening on the Hill with AI or sort of these cyber regulations happening?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot going on the Hill and in regulatory activity right now on cybersecurity, on privacy, on technology issues generally, including AI. There is a on cybersecurity, there is a new SEC rule that went into effect a few months ago for reporting for public companies on cyber risk. You now have a CISA, it just put forward its proposed rule for cyber incident reporting a couple weeks ago. So we're going to see, you know, that, you know, slowly move forward over the next year or so. And so that's something we'll be commenting on in the coming weeks. And then on AI legislation, there are a number of proposals at the federal level, at the state and local level. It's still early on AI legislation, but there's definitely a lot of interest in Congress and in state governments in doing something. And then on privacy, just this past week, there was a, you know, some new legislation put forward bicameral, bipartisan, that, you know, on privacy, you know, federal privacy law that we're taking a close look as well. So it's definitely a busy time on the Hill, busy time in regulatory agencies, and you know, a lot going on right now on all these issues.
Yeah, the speed at which the technology is changing is mind-blowing right now. And just trying to keep up with, you know, where the vulnerabilities might be is insane, right? You know, AI is a really big buzzword. We're hearing about it everywhere. I think, you know, when we were at the big show, I think just about every booth I stopped at had some sort of AI feature on the expo floor. Can you give me, Christian, maybe just like a couple of things that folks in retail loss prevention should be thinking about with AI? Like how is that going to affect their world?
Yeah. So if you think about, I mean, AI is basically, and like with cybersecurity, like with privacy, basically comes down to data. So if you are thinking about from as a loss prevention professional, you know, what data are you collecting? What data are you analyzing? You know, if you are using AI-enabled technologies to sort of support decision-making in the fraud prevention context and in the theft prevention context, you know, just making sure you're being thoughtful sort of about how you're doing that. And ultimately, still sort of keeping trained professionals in the loop. You know, I think at this point, you know, and NRF put out last fall a set of AI principles for the retail sector, where we articulated some sort of core high-level principles for how retailers should be thinking about AI. And one of the things we noted in there was that when you're talking about most retail use cases are relatively low risk, but when you get into issues around loss prevention, fraud related issues, you have slight, you know, somewhat higher potential risk in terms of risks of misidentification, risks of taking actions that aren't supported by other information. So that's where, as I said sort of a minute ago, it really comes down to there is a value and role for these technologies, but you need to use them in tandem with trained LP professionals and within sort of the broader context of you know, loss prevention.
Right. You mentioned a resource for the community. Is that available on your website still, or how can they?
Yeah, that's up on NRF's website. It's NRF's sort of AI principles for the use of AI in the retail sector. So we can share a link out with that.
That'd be fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about this show that's coming up. I'm sure you guys are not even worried about it at this point. It's so far away. It's just in June. You feel like you're all ready?
Absolutely.
Getting there? Great. I know there's probably a lot of people right now who are working out, trying to lose some weight for their before the show hits in a month, you know, all that kind of good stuff. I know I am. So, David, let's start with you. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things you're looking forward to with this next NRF Protect?
Yeah, well, we're always trying to change it up and bring new things, you know, to the Protects every year. And, you know, pretty excited about a lot of the content and the speakers and what we're going to see. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, we doubled the number of LP sessions that are happening this year compared to last year. You know, we really understood that there's a lot of things going on in the LP-AP world, a lot of topics to consider and discuss. So, you know, and our members or our attendees have, you know, it's great because they bring team members with a variety of roles and responsibilities. So we want to make sure that we have a natural balance to support something for everyone. You know, we've also labeled or at least balanced the presentations from a strategic and a tactical. So there will be a lot of strategic panel conversations on some new things to think about and consider, but still have the tactical presentations and conversations from retailers about what they're doing. You know, the foundational elements of internal theft, shrink, ORC, always going to be there. But one of the things we've done this year is we've brought our law and risk summit to Protect, which previously used to be a separate time, and it, you know, held during a separate time. So now we've got that happening with Protect, and we're asking folks, you know, bring your general counsel, bring your privacy attorneys, bring your enterprise risk managers, because we're going to focus on educational sessions that get into things such as global threats or enterprise security risk management principles, where you can help work better partnerships and collaboration with these groups. And even a session that focuses on, you know, having conversations with some key technology providers in our industry and privacy attorneys to say, okay, how can we better as a group understand some of these new technologies, like, you know, Christian had mentioned AI, biometrics, facial recognition, and how can we bring those, you know, to the retail industry without having concerns or challenges, you know, from our internal stakeholders and external stakeholders.
I love that. That was kind of anyway. So the fact that you guys are getting ahead of it and looping in legal and risk anyway, I mean, there's so much crossover between these different groups. They work very closely. And if they don't, they should be working very closely together. So I love that you guys are addressing that. Christian, how about for you? Anything specific you're looking forward to?
Yeah. So for NRF Protect, I mean, we've been growing the cybersecurity footprint at the show going back to 2019. We had a couple year gap with due to the pandemic where we didn't meet in person, but we're, you know, every year we've been sort of increasing that, you know, experience in terms of cybersecurity content, meetings of our IT Security Council, and now our fraud prevention working group. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that we did last year that I'm looking forward to again this year is having a live incident response exercise on the first day of the conference, where, you know, walking through a scenario of a you know, simulated incident and having that cross retail practitioner conversation, you know, individuals from different roles, from cyber roles, from fraud, loss prevention, other broader risk roles, to talk about how you respond in an incident like that, and how you, you know, how you work together, how you deal with things you need to sort of do from a regulatory or compliance standpoint. So that will again be sort of a highlight, you know, for me. And then just getting the, you know, getting the different groups together and finding ways to weave them more closely together. We've deliberately tried to, you know, there are some sessions that are more specialized for loss prevention or cybersecurity or fraud, but we've tried to think about, you know, what, you know, we know people want to, you know, in LP roles want to learn more about cybersecurity. You know, cybersecurity teams are paying more attention to organized retail crime and the role that they can play from a threat intelligence standpoint to support those activities. So I think we have a opportunities to bring these groups together through the content and other experiences at the event.
Well, great. I'm sure, you know, your council is a fantastic group of people. So I'm sure they had a lot of great input into that content too that's happening at Protect. I hope they did, because I like a lot of those people, respect them. So the conference is June 4th through 6th, right? In Long Beach.
That is correct.
Okay. So any tips for newbies? I always like to ask this question. If it's your first conference, what would your tip be?
My tip would be realize that you can't see everything.
That's a good one.
But
Yeah.
try to take on some sessions that you have no idea what they're about. As Christian had mentioned, go and explore a cybersecurity session. Go and explore a digital fraud. Experience protect. And then the other tip I would have, and this is coming from someone who I think is an extreme extrovert, is don't be a wallflower. Be the one to extend the hand, get to meet some folks. Everyone in the LP industry, the cybersecurity industry, they're great people. They're willing to help and they're willing to have conversations and meet new folks.
Yeah, I
Great.
mean, I think that's the real value of an event like this is that building those personal ties, doing that networking and making new friends and new sort of, business relationships.
Absolutely. I think a great way to practice, especially if you're an introvert, is to go out on the expo floor and just go talk to some solution providers because they want to talk to you anyway. So that's a great way to practice your skills, right? If you are a little shy. But I agree. Like just getting out there and making sure you're talking to people, have some business cards or a QR code or something to pass your contact info along. But those are great tips. I also want to say wear comfortable shoes. That's my tip. Okay, anything else about the conference? I know I'm super excited about it.
I'll just say you mentioned the expo floor. Over 220 industry partners, service providers, new innovative solutions. Probably the largest fusion center that we see in most of our conferences. From law enforcement, ORCAs, prosecutors' offices. Even working with mall and retail partners. They're there. So, don't forget to go and experience the expo floor. And to your point again, Stephanie, go and learn about new providers that you're unfamiliar with, because
Yes.
you never know what you might be able to incorporate in there. And that's even if you're from a different retail segment, because again, Protect is all about a variety of retail segments. We have restaurants, we have grocers, we have big box specialty. Go explore, go experiment, go learn. That's what it's all about.
And to
Love it.
that point, I think there's even value in cyber practitioners going to talk to the LP companies because they're responsible for, if you think about a lot of this loss prevention technology being deployed in stores, that's part of then the broader IT footprint of stores and of the retailer. So what do LP, providers need to be thinking about in terms of, security issues or not sort of inadvertently creating new sort of security vulnerabilities for retail companies? So I think there is value in making sure that that conversation happens as well.
Absolutely. Yep. Keep an open mind as you're walking around, for sure. Awesome. Well, it was great talking with both of you and Christian. I think it's the first time you and I have met officially. Yeah, probably on a Zoom call in the past or something, but it's very nice to spend some time with you. And looking forward to seeing both of you at the NRF Protect in Long Beach, California. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Stephanie.